there's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
This episode is brought to you by Twizzlers. Long day, late night, feeling a little bored. Twizzlers is the ultimate sidekick for any moment of the day, no matter what kind of day you're having. The perfect level of sweet and a fun excuse to sit back and relax. Unwind with Twizzlers. To buy now, visit Hersheyland.com/Twizzlers.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to my travel podcast, Life's a Beach. Every week I invite a special guest to take us on a journey together to their favourite holiday destinations and to reveal their top travel tips and tales. Now, my passenger today is an Oscar-winning screenwriter. He's an activist, and he has just written the most wonderfully heartwarming memoir, Mama's Boy, which is a must-read. Please make your way on board, Dustin Lance Black.
This is the final boarding call for passenger Dustin Lance Black. I repeat. This is the final boarding call, Dustin Lance Black. Thank you.
Dustin Lance Black, love.
Yes.
You've arrived at the airport.
I have.
You check in. What do you take with you? Do you take magazines, books to read on the plane?
Oh my, I take an entire, a bag filled with all of my work.
Yeah.
I do. But it's also boring, though, the things that I take. I have to say, because it's like a laptop where I can work on the plane. I get so much done on the plane.
Yeah.
You know, the day that they began to install internet on the plane was the end of my enjoyment of air travel, I have to say. As lovely as it is sometimes to stay connected, it was so nice to be disconnected.
Yes.
Ugh. Unplug me and I could read and I could write and I could stay very focused. It was almost like the Zen experience to be disconnected. And now it's over.
Oh.
Now it's gone. But
do you have that thing where you arrive at destination, you go, oh my God, I've got so many messages, and then you put it on and no one has even, the only text you've got is telling you about what the call rate will be, $2.
Yeah, that's right. And my husband telling me all that's gone wrong at home. The pipes have burst, the child is crying. You've abandoned me. Yes.
Well, you're a dad now. Has that changed? Like when you go on a plane, if I see someone coming on with a toddler, I am like gripping that handrail, get that child away from
me. Oh, yeah.
Was you like that or now are you like, because you're the one with the child?
No, we are. You know, we had really good advice from some friends with kids that said, you know, take that first year and travel.
Yeah.
And we were able to. Because in that first year, truly, and I kind of am the same, the sound of the plane, the hum of it all, our son just fell asleep. So he slept the whole way. And if you time the flights right, which is what we also did, take the red eye, our son would just sleep through the entire thing. It was a blessing. And frankly, because both Tom and I usually fly at least twice a month until COVID hit.
Oh, God, yeah.
So our terrible twos with our son is timed out right. Perfectly with COVID, so we haven't had to torture anyone with. We were supposed to fly to Tokyo for the Olympics, and I was dreading, bless our son, but I was dreading that long flight with a 2-year-old, and now he'll be 3 when we fly to Tokyo, and hopefully it'll be a bit better.
Okay. And then do you take the complimentary nuts when they come round or pretzels?
Are they free, those nuts?
They're free.
I love a good
free.
Set of free nuts.
They're a little Lamoose.
I love free nuts.
They're
I mean, do they still do that? You know, I'm often disappointed when they come around with the with the pretzels. I don't really like a salted pretzel, but when they come around with the nuts, and if they're those honey roasted nuts, boy, it's worth it. I mean, every time.
Favorite nuts, honey roasted nuts.
Honey roasted nuts, sweet and salty.
They can't do nuts anymore, can they? Oh, they can't because of nut allergies.
Oh, is that right? Is that right? Well, I take everything I can, because what's true, and I think scientifically proven, is that once you get past 10,000 feet, calories don't stick. And I've been telling Tom this. He doesn't agree with me. He doesn't believe it, but he's wrong. So you can eat anything you like past 10,000 feet. Yeah. So just don't touch the nuts till that ding sound goes off. You can open your laptop and eat all the nuts you'd like. That's what I believe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I
don't convince me otherwise.
I want to believe you,
don't, please,
but
don't.
I know it's not true.
Just believe it. It's a happier world if you believe it.
Now, this is going to be such a short podcast because I read in your brilliant book, Mama's Boy, that you didn't have any vacation or holiday until you were Tom.
I never took a break. I never had a vacation.
What are we going to talk about? This is going to be so angry.
Well, I made up for lost time. I mean, truly, in the past, you know, Tom and I have been together for almost 8 years now.
Yeah.
8 years now, which is far longer than I think almost anyone on Twitter thought was possible. and so in that time, I have made up for lost travel. And in fact, I think I consider myself a traveler. And we would fly here or there any chance we got, anytime Tom had a break. So, but before that, I was so determined to have a certain kind of career. Mm. And it just doesn't allow for a vacation.
No.
And in fact, in my business, even today, I had to explain to my poor assistant when he was going away for a week, I said, you're still going to be on email, right?
Yeah.
Because all of our heroes, the people you want to become, our mentors, they don't turn their phone off on vacation because the business does not stop. And so we can't stop. It's a bit sad, but
so
we love
like
what we do.
How do you relax?
What does that mean, relax? Oh, what is relax?
No.
What is relax?
You would be my nightmare holiday companion. You can't switch off.
Oh, no. This is what Tom has taught me.
Yeah.
Is the value of switching off.
Yeah.
And it was, I never would do it for anyone. I mean, I asked my exes, I would not take a vacation. Mm. I didn't want to go. I didn't have interest. I love what I do. And then I had to take a chance. And when Tom said, why don't you come visit me in the UK 8 years ago, nearly 8 years ago? And I said, yes. He had no idea what a huge shift that was for me.
No.
And I didn't do anything but spend time with him and eat my body weight in ice cream and chocolate down in Plymouth for that entire week.
But he doesn't eat. Does he eat?
Are you kidding me? That's all he does is eat.
Well, how do you know? Is that clicking going to be annoying? No, okay. Sorry, love.
There's a troublemaker.
This is my husband, Paul.
Hi.
Running around, walking the dog, getting a spit shopping in. Nice to meet you.
Hi, good to meet you.
Where did you come from this morning, then, Tom?
Dustin.
Tom is the hot one with the ads. I'll take my shirt off and it'll be clear. Love that your husband just mistook me for Tom Daly.
I know.
That was the best moment of 2020 so far. Like, if on the scale of things, that was fantastic.
Yeah, my husband Paul's come in and just thought Dustin was Tom.
Yeah, he's a lovely man, your husband.
I know.
I adore him.
It's a mama's boy. Tell me about Texas. So what? Is there anything there? I'm not being disrespectful to Texas, but I don't fancy going there.
No, I think it depends where you go in Texas. You have to realize Texas is probably half the size or two-thirds the size of the entire United Kingdom. It's massive.
All right.
And it has, you can go to places that are very flat and very conservative, where people treasure God and guns over everything else.
Yeah.
But I often find that in places that are quite conservative like that, when you find the pocket of creativity, it's fierce.
Yeah.
So if you go to, say, Austin, Texas, your eyes will be opened to art, to food, to culture. It's a brilliant place, a very exciting, innovative place.
Yeah.
That's like a little tiny island inside of Texas. And that's technically my home. In the United States. That's where I live.
Is there a gay scene there? Because I was speaking to Rob Rinder, and he got Grindr on the Trans-Siberian Railway.
Did he? And how successful was he?
He wouldn't go into it. I tried to get more information.
But he was successful then. Because if you're not, you're willing to say.
On the Trans-Siberian. So is there a gay scene?
There's a massive gay scene in Texas.
Well,
absolutely. Like one of the best drag shows I ever saw was in Russia. During the height of the beginning of the entire lockdown, when there is pressure to push down the queer community, we put on our sequins. We will not
get me that cork
we
wedge.
Will not become invisible. We just won't.
Yeah.
We refuse to do it anymore. Mm. I think we know how important it is not to do it anymore.
Yeah.
So in a place like Texas, which is now becoming this kind of 50-50 swing state, queer culture is alive and well. Go to Dallas to the Rose Room and see one of the best drag shows you've ever seen in your entire life. And you have to go through the front door of this club, which is pretty massive as a gay club.
Yeah.
And then through the back, over a little bridge and into this theater, and you will see some fierce drag, some wonderful drag, some great entertainers in the Rose Room in Dallas, Texas. Go to Austin and there's an entire gay strip. I wish I could remember it, but I usually, after one or two shots, it all kind of gets a bit fuzzy. And fuzzy's the way to be in much of Texas. I think it's a fantastic place. It's also a place where when you start to talk about things like equal rights for LGBTQ people, you can feel that there's an impact. Yeah. You know, I can preach all I want in San Francisco and Los Angeles, but it's mostly just preaching to the choir. Whereas in Texas, you feel like you might be moving the needle. And to me, that's exciting.
Yeah,
I dig it.
And where do you stand? Because there is this gay conundrum, isn't there? Like, Paul...
is there only one gay conundrum? Because
well,
I've got a dozen I can pull out.
Well, I want to specify one conundrum.
Yes.
Where Paul asked me to marry him on the island of Lombok. Now, traditionally, that's, you know, you get the death penalty there if you are gay.
Yes.
Where do you stand as a gay traveller? Because people are like, well, you shouldn't really go and invest into their community and all that. But you know what? I found them. They were lovely when he proposed to me. Everyone cheered. The staff were great. Sometimes it's important to go places. Do you feel people?
I feel like, you know, these conversations can easily become binary when they shouldn't be, because the world isn't. So it isn't a go or not go because of where the government stands. My question is, what's your intention when you're there? What are you going to do? Are you going to pretend like there's not a problem and not talk about it and just spend your money and let those taxes go to a government that would stone gay people to death? Well, then I have a problem with that.
Yeah.
I've traveled to Russia numerous times now, and I'm glad that I did. I'm glad that I went there and stood up for what I believe is true, that I made connections with people who were on the fence about their government's stand on queer people and had those conversations because they can move the needle. So what's your intention?
Yeah.
Go have a good time, spend money, and do the thing that I think is actually the most powerful thing in the world when it comes to change, which is sit and have dinner with someone who might not agree with you. And then I applaud that trip to a place that has laws that injure gay people, because you might actually influence one person. You might change one heart. And if changing a heart, can change that one mind, you start to move the needle. Just make sure that in the back of your head, when you go to a place like that, you know, I'm going to be brave, I'm going to be bold, and I'm not going to closet myself. Just make sure your embassy knows you're there.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Right. But then I think, good on you. I do have some friends who I was quite upset with, who went to some countries where they still have the death penalty for homosexuality. Mm. And they went and spent their money, and the government posted lots of pictures of them, and they became a tool.
Yeah.
They were a tool. They were a propaganda tool. And they let themselves be that because they're cheap asses.
Yeah.
Because they wanted a free trip. Mm. And I think that's vile. I think that's short-sighted. But, you know, if you're traveling to a country with your husband as a gay man, and you're willing to be visible and to have conversations about it, good on you, because that's brave.
Yeah. And he put the ring in this dessert, and it took me forever. And I love a dessert. And because I went
Who doesn't? I went for a wee and then I came back and then he was visibly nervous like this and I'm eating this. I've never eaten a dessert so early. I didn't know the ring was there. But they'd organised it all. And then when he said, we married, I said, yes. And then this man come out in an organ singing, can you feel the love? Tonight.
And it was actually Elton.
It was. Yeah, he just put on like Scooby-Doo. There was Elton.
As well it should be.
David Furnish on backing vocals.
Fantastic.
Now, I have to say, that smell of fish isn't me. It's my dog, Bev, who's just had her breakfast sardines and jumped
Bev,
eggs.
How dare Alan blame you for his stench?
For my lack of personal hygiene.
Take a shower, man.
This episode is brought to you by Twizzlers. Long day, late night, feeling a little bored? Twizzlers is the ultimate sidekick for any moment of the day, no matter what kind of day you're having. The perfect level of sweet and a fun excuse to sit back and relax. Unwind with Twizzlers. To buy now, visit Hersheyland.com/Twizzlers.
Now, you really liked Barcelona. That's what I heard. Is that true?
Yeah, I think Barcelona was probably one of the first planned vacations I ever took.
Where you had to relax, because Tom said, relax.
Tom had just finished competing there. We'd only been together for like 6-8 months.
Yeah.
It was all a big seat. No. No one knew.
Nice.
No one knew. So we decided to stay. He was competing in Barcelona, so we stayed there. And yeah. I had never been. And I made myself switch off, and it was tough. I have to say, there was a little bit of a panic about 24 hours in that I was feeling disconnected. I worried what would happen with the projects I had going, and I had to let that go. And then it just turned into us wandering, which you can. What a wonderful city to wander in, and to discover,
and everything.
All of the art and the food and the people and. And
they love a Speedo too, that beach.
I don't know what you're talking about because I didn't see, I saw a lot of penises and testicles. I didn't see a whole lot of Speedos.
Oh, really? They must have put them on when they saw me looking in my binoculars.
Wait, you went to the wrong beach because the beach I was on, you did not need binoculars to see what. God. Yeah, it was a very, maybe I was just there on a fantastic week, but I have to say it was. The sights were grand. The sights were absolutely grand. And I had to behave myself. I thought it was a really wonderful place. I just loved walking the entire length of that beach, all the way from the hotel we were on, which was up by that big lift. It looks like a ski lift, and it takes you down to the beaches.
Yes, yes, yes.
And we would walk all the way down to the gay beach, which is about an hour and a half walk.
Yeah.
And you would see how, as you neared the gay beach, there was less and less clothing, more and more muscles.
A smell of poppers.
There was probably, the toilets in Barcelona are an obstacle course, shall we say. So that was, but beyond just the sort of beauty of that, I also loved in Barcelona so many places we went, whether it was a bar or a restaurant, it was just so incredibly warm and friendly.
Yes, they're gorgeous and they make you so welcome.
I think we may have paid for a quarter of our drinks there because it's the kind of place where if you just start actually having a conversation and connect with the bartender, they're your best friend.
Yeah.
And in fact, they kind of are. You go back the next night and you miss them and stayed in contact with them. And it was good. And then I think I gained about 35 pounds at one restaurant alone. Having this cannelloni they said was the best in the world. I'm like, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Well, I needed to test it out 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 times to make sure it was
good.
True. Yeah, it was so good. I think it's a goal. It's a noble goal to try and see if we can get Tom's 8-pack down to 1 or 2.
I know.
Just for our self-esteem, Alan.
Insane.
It has to happen. I tried my best.
And I can't believe you told me he eats.
He has to.
He works out a lot.
6 hours a day.
He? 6 hours.
6 hours a day. 6 days a week. No.
No way.
I know.
Oh, my God.
You know what's made me feel better about it?
What?
That I wear a parka to bed now.
We are now approaching Sitges. If you could please pack away your Speedos and poppers. Thank you.
Now tell us a hidden UK gem. A place, it can be a beach. Do you have beaches in Texas? I'm being thick
yes.
here.
Yes, yeah. Nice beaches? So those are my very first vacations in my life were with my mom, who... I mean, bless her. I don't know how she handled us. She was we were abandoned by our father. I was 6, little brother 2, big brother 10. My mom paralyzed, drives with hand controls, loads us into a Malibu Classic, which is basically an army tank without the turret. And there's this woman who isn't even 5 foot tall, walking on crutches, braces, steering this steel beast. And we would drive from San Antonio to the beaches. We would go out to Galveston. So that's about the distance of driving from here to, say, Plymouth.
Is it Galveston? Galveston.
Yeah.
So that's what he sings about.
Galveston. We went to Padre Island, which to get onto it, you have to go over this bridge that looks like it's headed straight up into the heavens. You can't see. It's so steep. You can't see when you're going to finally come down. And my mother can't even see over the steering wheel. So she definitely can't see the car in front of her. I mean, we were truly deeply terrified. This is probably why I didn't take vacations. I thought vacations equal, you know, stress. Coming as close as possible to death. Your mother wants to kill you. And she might succeed. And then we would just, so those beaches, I would not call them picturesque.
Really?
Because there's so much, there was then. And I don't know how much now, all this oil drilling off the coast.
Oh, no.
And so the oil would wash up onto the beach, just little clumps of it. So I grew up thinking that beaches were these places with waves and through the smell of gasoline.
Oh, no.
And you had to have these little wipes to get the oil off of you.
Oh.
And, of course, you didn't have to go fishing because the fish would just wash up onto the shore covered in oil.
That sounds so grim.
Yeah, that was those were the Texas beaches of my youth. And so you can see why I thought perhaps vacations weren't, you know, all people claimed they would be. So the beaches in Barcelona were far nicer. And here, I mean, I enjoy – you know what I like better than the beaches here? I love the sort of cliff sides, which remind me of my travels in California, like in Big Sur and up north.
Oh, we had the best time in Big Sur.
Did you go?
Yes, I loved it. And then, of course, I'm like – let's get an open top on the map.
What is an open – Alan, when you say open top
–
a convertible.
Convertible.
Yeah.
I'm not really into cars.
An open top is sort of something I found in the restrooms in Barcelona.
Oh.
That's a whole different.
Oh, yeah.
It's a whole different thing, Alan. Behave yourself.
You have got a very dirty mind. That's the trouble.
I hope so.
So, we drove up the big. So on the map, it's only an inch, isn't it?
Yes.
It took 10. Paul, was it 10 hours? 10 hours, I hadn't put any sun cream on my bald spot. It looked like, you know those buzzers on Britain's Got Talent?
Yeah.
It was like agony. So I'm in San Francisco for the first 2 days. I was in complete agony having to wear a cap. Yeah, honestly. But I love it there. I love it. And
if you go back, you may have stayed there, but there's a hotel which is really just these exquisite kind of 5-star tree houses.
Yeah.
And they're built up into the trees along the cliff right there on Big Sur. And so it's not the cheapest, but you move into one. I'm telling you, even if your husband is furious with you, if he's ready for divorce, by the end, you're going to be getting married all over again.
Oh,
it's so romantic. It's kind
Why
of feels haunted.
And... Why didn't I stop? Why did I just drive all the way up there?
Oh,
and we were arguing. We turned up in San Francisco because he won't let me drive.
Yeah.
He doesn't let me drive, and he doesn't let me wave at people out the window because I like doing that. He's quite strict.
Well, you can do that in California. Do you know, this has nothing to do with anything. We're going to get off topic. No. But one of my favorite things to do in London, and it drives, especially if my poor British Oxford-educated assistant is with me, and I say, I'm going to say hi to people, I'm going to make eye contact, and I'm going to wave.
No.
He's horrified. It's horrifying. It's like they're going to throw you in an institution. It is the funniest thing to watch how Londoners react to a smile and a wave.
Yeah. Oh.
Though I will say, since COVID, I've been smiling and waving, and people have actually been smiling and waving back. It's catching on.
Wait, unless
human contact.
You've got lovely smiley eyes. But you see, my eyes are quite dead. So I'm smiling at people with my mask on and no one's
Yeah, they're terrified of you. Yeah, you're just sort of lurking.
I've got serial killer eyes.
Yeah, that's true. You do. It's fine.
Thanks for saying that.
I find them alluring. As one who adores character, you have more than enough, I think.
Oh, thank you.
But you, in California, you can in fact, the expectation, if you're passing someone on a sidewalk, is to smile and say hello.
And
it's
I know
a different
it's
culture.
All bullshit. Or a thumb. You know, when you put like some trousers on, oh my God, you look, or a thumb. And I know it's bullshit. I know I still look fat. But I think we could learn a bit from that. You know, over here, no one gives a shit, do we? And I know, you know, when you try the stuff on, or I say, oh my God, you look so cute in those trousers. I know I don't, but it's nice to say it, even if it is a lie.
Do we need to turn this into a therapy session?
I think
I actually think you look quite adorable right now in your sort of blue.
Well, it's lockdown, right? I have to wear comfies and anything with an elasticated waist.
I don't know.
Thank you.
Big Sur is one of my number one destinations in the entire world. And I don't know if I'm getting out of order on your question sheet there, but I think
if there is
a place. You know how people say there's the one place in the world, your place, your safe spot, your happy place, whatever you want to call it. Is there a beach in Big Sur that's kind of a little bit off the map, but there's a trail you can get down. There's a little place to park. And it has this incredible, like, undertow. So you don't want to go into the water. But if you sit there on the beach and watch it, these waves come at you. And they're about 10 feet tall, you know, on a good day. And it looks like they are going to clobber you, to take you out. And the undertow just sucks them right down and under.
Yeah.
And it creates this kind of peaceful, zen-like, almost existential space to examine your place on the planet that I've not experienced anywhere else.
Wow.
It's very quiet. And
you relax there? You weren't looking for like a plug to put your laptop in?
I didn't look for it. I had my phone.
I had my fax machine.
What are you talking about?
Plug.
I had a typewriter. I didn't there. It is one of the places I'm able to sort of unplug. And if you go there, as a little hint, and this is how you might be able to find it, there's two spectacular magical things about it.
Are we talking it's a bit near Carmel up there?
It's south of Carmel. South of that. And it's just north of the giant bridge that I'm forgetting its name.
Oh, the big arch bridge. That is, and I think in Big Little Lies it's on there, isn't it?
It's just north of that.
Oh, I want to go back there. It's gorgeous there.
And the water comes down from the mountains right there. And if you walk up this ravine the right time of year, it's just lilies, a whole ocean of them. And if you walk just further north, there's a nude gay beach.
Oh, what a lovely.
So you can have zen, peace, lilies, and cock. What else do you need?
And then a wank. No.
I don't know. You know,
it's a joke.
The thing about nude beaches is this, and I'm going to get in so much trouble with my husband for saying these words. By cock, I mean chickens, male chickens.
Of course.
Yes, of course. That's what I mean.
Yes.
The thing about nude beaches, though, it's rarely the people you dream will be there there. It's more people who have stopped caring what others think, which is lovely, but...
Yeah, Brighton Beach is like that. And, you know, I know everyone thinks, oh, you're gay and you love willies and stuff, but, you know, sometimes when you see someone bending over, screwing a swing ball in, you know, it's not the nicest of views, is it?
Screwing a swing ball in? I don't know what that is.
A swing ball? You must have swing ball in Texas. It's the thing you put in and you hit
tether ball. Tether ball's right.
It's a swing ball. Don't stop.
Tether ball. There's more of us. There's more of us. We win. I know you invented the language, but we took it over.
My family actually invented swing ball.
Did they?
No, it's a lie.
Oh, you're a liar. So magic. So I don't know why I'm trying to keep you on track. This is insane. That my secret spot in the UK, I love going down to where Tom is from. I love going down to Cornwall and Plymouth and all of that. I find it, the people incredibly warm and friendly. I love a place where on every street, it seems, as you get close to the beach, is an ice cream shop.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and they put those little...
Cornish pasties.
We don't put chocolate little, whatever you call those things, in
flake,
fudge thing.
Flake.
Swing ball, flake, whatever. I
put a swing ball in my flake. No, I feel like I'm sponsored by swing ball. I have to keep getting it in. Alan Carr, sponsored by swing ball.
If you look out of the right, you will see the Golden Gate Bridge. If you look out of the left, you will see a nudist beach. Pull the blinds down.
So tell me about these ice cream. I love an ice cream. Fucking hell. Is any of this editable?
We've lost him.
We lost them at Wank,
yeah,
to
we
be
lost
honest.
He's swing balls wanking on the beach. Oh, my God. Yeah, anyway, so I think that I'm most surprised by how much of a good time I have when I'm down there.
Yeah.
I mean, there's other places in the UK is magnificent for travel.
Gorgeous,
give me a break. I mean, I could spend years in Scotland and never grow tired of the little daily discoveries you can make there. It's fantastic. But I was surprised when I first went down to the Southwest.
And you must have loved it so much because you actually got married at a place that me and Paul have the best times at, Bovey Castle.
Oh, yes. Have you been there?
Oh, I've been there. It's absolutely good. And dog friendly, which I love.
Yes, yeah.
And for those of you who don't know, it's this gorgeous castle on the edge of Dartmoor, isn't it? With this most magnificent, it's so romantic. Did you pick it or did Tom know about it?
We had a wedding planner, bless him, who was trying so hard to find us just the right spot. And we had...
That was Adele. Anyway. Oh, did that just come out? I'm a dick.
But frankly...
I'm a dick.
You're not. It's lovely. I mean, if you're going to name drop, name drop the best.
I'm going to put that. Keep that name drop in.
So in the end, we didn't... Our wedding planner couldn't find what we wanted. And you know who did? You know who found Bovey Castle? In 15 minutes after we'd spent all this money and time and all this, Tom's mom. Tom's mom just went online, sort of typed in a search
Booking.
What we wanted.
Com.
Yeah. And there was a place where, because we wanted to, if we were going to ask all of our friends to travel, mine in particular, across the world to a wedding, we wanted to provide something quite nice and we wanted to have a place. And so we said, we wanted a place where we kind of take it over for a weekend. And Bovey Castle said yes, which was really awesome. And what a beautiful place to kind of take over. And
that driveway, you can't really explain it. And you come around the corner and boom, there it is. And you won't know this, but it's the man who invented W.H. Smith. It's actually W.H. Smith's house.
Really?
Yeah. And,
I didn't know that.
I expected post-it notes and a magazine, stationery everywhere. But no, he didn't want to bring his work home with him. But no, it is a huge, gorgeous house. Yeah, that's how he made his money. Built from stationery. But it's gorgeous,
isn't
it?
No idea. Yeah, it is gorgeous. And the people
there... Have you ever heard of W.H. Smith's?
Yeah, I'm hoping they'll, I have a book on their shelves right now. I hope.
Yeah.
We'll see. I'm not allowed to. I haven't been into a book store in like 6 months, which is a very long time.
I love my books.
Me too.
I've just been told by one of the air stewardesses we have two lovebirds on board, Tom and Dustin. Please have a complimentary glass of cava on Alan Air.
Okay, places that are letdowns. Where have you been? Where have you been that you've gone, oh, I was really looking forward to this and now it's a bit shit? Well, not shit, just a bit meh.
You know what I'd never, ever done? Because I didn't understand how vacations worked and I've gotten much better at them. I traveled a ton in the past 5-6 years. And so Tom and I decided we wanted to have a little vacation to thank Tom's mom for all of her help, because she would come up and help us with our son and all this sort of stuff. You know, because Tom's on the road a lot, so it would end up being me and Tom's mom with our son, which is lovely and fun. And I won the lottery with mothers-in-laws. So we said, well, let's just treat her. So we'll do this, an all-inclusive. Oh, God. In Mexico. And I said, well, Mexico's great. Mexico's one of my favorite places in the world. I grew up right near it in Texas and in California. I speak Spanish, so does Tom. Warm people, amazing food. It's tons of history. It's sexy and smart and great. I mean, it's great. So why would you ever lock yourself away in an all-inclusive resort where you don't get to see or meet or mingle with any of the people in Mexico? In fact, I think it was 90% Brits.
Oh,
and they mostly just wanted their photos with Tom. And at a certain point, the all-inclusive resort, the all-inclusive resort began on their Facebook page, began a little section of like, if you've spotted Tom Daley, please post so that people can find him and get their picture taken. So even if we just were trying to lay out on a sun chair and relax, there would be a line within minutes. Of
damn.
People, and bless them. But yeah. We were just trying to relax. And so we got out of there as quickly as we possibly could.
So which coast was it?
That was in Cancun. No, is that where it was? Yeah, Cancun. And so we got out of there and drove north, I believe, and then just started looking at the history and meeting the people and being around it. And it was fabulous. But I just have to say that all-inclusive thing, anytime I hear the word all-inclusive, I run the other direction now.
Yeah.
It was not at all what I hoped. Though Tom's mom loved it.
Really?
Loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All you can eat and drink, baby. Like, get it. We had a good time.
I mean, the all-inclusive, the thing is with me is I like to get my money's worth, so I will just drink from early in the morning because I want my £2,000 worth of drink and food, and I'm a pig.
Yeah, well...
I'm even trying to eat that inflatable banana that people sit on. Do you know what I mean? I'm just like, give me it. And I make a pig of myself and none of my clothes fit. And people don't approach me for a selfie because I look so fucking hideous.
Stop.
Get your selfies. Get your selfies with Tom Daley. It's over by the buffet. Get your selfies. Get your selfies with Tom Daley. By the buffet. Come on, get your selfies.
When I was a backpacker, 1999, we went round Mexico. And isn't it funny how things are changing? Tulum.
Tulum, yeah.
You can go there.
Yeah, great.
I went there, 1999, $2 a hut. That was it. One little cafe on there, and you've got those beautiful Mayan ruins.
So yes.
And my friend said, oh, I just want to get away. I said, you should go to Tulum. It is so quiet and beautiful. Well, you can imagine the phone call I got. Really? I mean, it is just crazy now. Apparently, there's all Buddha. I mean, I don't think it's spoiled, as in that, but it is not what I imagined in 1999. It is like all really boutique-y things. But then if you go down, there is a gorgeous island called Isla Mujeres.
Yes.
Island of Women. Did you go on there?
Yeah, no, I know it. We did not go there. No, how is that?
Because it's because of his name.
Because of the women thing, yeah.
No. No, I'm joking. Island of Gay Beach. I'm there. No.
Where was that?
No, it's off Carmen. Carmen.
Yes, yeah, it's right there. I know where it is, yeah. And did you go there? What is on that island of women?
When I was there. But you know Shawshank Redemption?
Yes.
Do you remember the end?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
That's the beach. That white, sandy beach
where
he escapes. That's where they filmed it.
Oh.
And it is the best beach ever.
All right.
It's gorgeous. But the thing is, you know, Mexicans are so sweet. They just give away the tequila. Please have a shot of tequila. And I was like, I'm not going to drink tonight.
Yeah, right.
Tequila,
good luck.
Tequila. No, a couple of tequilas. I pass back the... Next thing, the man has got a gun full of tequila. Follow me leader, me leader, me leader, follow me leader. I am like, oh my God. I love it.
No, it's great.
I think Mexicans are really sweet. We're definitely down that coast. And you have got those Palenque, which I think they've only found 20% of the ruins. Now they're finding stuff all the time. Palenque, you should go there.
Yeah. All right.
I tell you this Palenque story? This is true. This is not from a sitcom.
Go on.
I had the shits. I got Montezuma's revenge.
Of course you did, yeah.
And I ended up shitting myself on a temple. It wasn't on the temple, it was in my pants, so don't start writing in to complain.
Okay, all right.
And I needed water, and I finally got this water. I was skin. I didn't know that they were running a marathon through Palenque for them. I'm holding up the water. This woman running in the marathon takes it out my hand, pours it over her head, and she thought I was one of those people standing by the thing. I'd just come out of these bushes, shat myself, took it, tipped it over her fucking head. So I was dehydrating.
What a delightful vision, Alan.
I know.
Thank you so much for sharing that.
The Mexican Tourist Board have been
in touch. I don't think you're the first person to have some intestinal troubles when traveling to Mexico.
Everyone. I had it all the way around, and I remember I got it in Acapulco, and I never forget the Hotel Capri, and I used 3 toilet rolls, and they wouldn't give me a fourth one.
Stop that right now.
They said, no, because it's like this horrible backpacker. I said, more toilet roll. No. I said, I need more. It wouldn't. That's disgusting, isn't it? Anyway.
It's a heartbreak.
This is your captain speaking. We are on our final approach to our destination. Cabin crew, get ready for landing. Cabin crew, get ready for landing. Quick question. Do you collect Mentos? You'd like a tea towel or a fridge magnet?
We do fridge magnets, yeah.
Nice.
We have a whole... The fridge is covered with them, and Robbie's made a sport of throwing them on the ground, breaking them, and because he enjoys watching me repair them. Which has become our weekly weekend activity.
Street food? You can't... Or do you bring your own tea back? Oh, you don't drink tea,
I'm a coffee guy. When I travel, I eat what's there. I mean, why...
I do.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to be in it. I want to taste what they have to offer.
Oh, so you're quite, adventurous. You're like, oh, let's go down this alley that might be like a bar behind a revolving bookcase.
Yeah, why go somewhere new and go to McDonald's? I mean, bless a Big Mac, but come on, you're there. You should explore.
Yeah, those golden arches are not the Taj Mahal.
It's not. Although it is always nice, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but to stop at a McDonald's in a different country, they serve different things.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It's very, very different. Try going to McDonald's in China, and there's pineapple on half of the burgers. And you go, oh, that sounds strange, till you bite into it.
Does it work, a pineapple burger?
Yeah, it does. I don't know. I eat the veggie version, but yeah, it does. It
oh, does. You're veggie?
Pesky.
Oh, so you have a bit of fish?
I have a bit of fish, yeah.
Can we do a quick fire round?
Let's do a quick fire
round. These don't even make sense. Okay. Chicken or beef?
Neither.
Oh, God, you're a pescatarian.
Yeah, forget it.
Street food or a la carte?
I dig street food. Go to Austin. I know, this is supposed to be fast. Go to Austin, best street food in the world. Oh, my goodness, you have to get in line at 11 if you want that barbecue before it runs out.
Really? And then go and see that drag show.
Go see that drag show. Yeah, street food.
Taxi or tuk-tuk?
Oh, tuk-tuk, if I'm not wrong.
How'd you explain to Rufus Wainwright what a tuk-tuk was?
No, come on.
Back to 50 or chip fat?
Oh my God! Factor 50 with a jacket over me and a giant hat, some of that zinc stuff on my nose, honey. I'm trying to keep this skin
because you are very fair skin. Do you tan?
I'm 80 years old. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm trying to keep the wrinkles at bay still.
So what? Could you go brown? You tan?
Not really. I go red and then it all peels off.
Oh no! Yeah. So it's weird then. Scuba diving or paddleboard?
Scuba diving.
Nudist or not on your Nelly?
Oh yeah, I would do it.
You're skinny.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if I'm away from the United Kingdom where there's all these long lens cameramen lurking behind bushes, you can actually go have a good time, be yourself.
Yeah, of course.
Like, take it off.
Take it off.
Yeah, enjoy the breeze everywhere God
but
gave you.
Must put factor 50 down.
At least
there.
50 down.
No
there.
One wants the red. Really.
Nobody wants that.
Water or Harvey Wallbanger?
What the hell is a Harvey Wallbanger?
That's a cocktail. Don't make that. How old are you?
I don't know. I've never had that one. Anything.
You like a cocktail?
Yeah, like.
Because I've seen on it. Cocktail. You have cocktails. You have date night with Tom.
Yeah.
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 What's We're not your big. Cocktail?
We don't get to. Probably a Crown Royal and ginger ale, is my go-to after a day of work, just to kind of chill. But we don't get to drink very often.
Oh, you would have.
So drinking, because Tom can't drink, because, you know, every 6 days a week he has to wake up and go die, jump off of something silly. So when we do go on vacations, we drink.
Yeah. Okay, good for you. I'm not judging, love.
But on vacations, it's not a Crown and ginger. On a vacation, it needs to have, like, an umbrella. And I want all the accoutrements.
Yeah, pina colada's nice. That makes me feel like I'm on holiday.
Yeah, very good. Anything that makes you feel like you're probably diabetic by the time you've gotten halfway through is what I want on vacation. Yeah.
Desert or ocean? This is quite
ocean.
Deep. Okay. Quick. Mile High member or non-member?
Sadly, I am a Mile High member, but only in the solo club.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, it's sad. It's sad. 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 It's, you know.
Anyway, moving on. Sunset or sunset?
Just to explain myself, I have been fortunate enough to been on some red eyes on some private planes. So don't worry when you're going into that Virgin Atlantic bathroom.
Yeah,
I have not defined.
No, fantastic. Thanks for the clarification. Yes. Sunset or sunrise?
Ooh, that's an impossible
one. I think that I'm quite proud of that question because it's really deep. It's sunrise. Not like me at all. Yeah.
You know what I love? A sunrise when you haven't been to bed yet.
Oh, that's nice.
That's the best.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you regret it a few hours later, but at the moment, it's spectacular.
It's good. Like, sometimes I've done that on Instagram, and people think, oh, look, he's been out for a jog, and they don't know you just come out of the skip. what beautiful sunset. Why are my eyes red? Last one, flip-flop or cork wedge?
I don't even know what this means.
I don't know. No one really
Do you know
knows
what that means?
No, cork wedge. I don't know.
What's
I
a mean, cork wedge?
A cork wedge is like a triangle of shoe. It's like a cork that women wear to go out. You might dress up a bit, maybe have a nice handbag with it or a pencil skirt. And a flip-flop is just like, oh, baggy.
I see. A cork wedge. A wedge as in a shoe.
Yeah.
Flip-flop, yeah. Because Tom's a wedge. And lately, Tom is increasingly becoming a wedge with like some sequins and colour on it.
Oh my God.
I don't know where we're headed. We're headed somewhere very
quick. That's how I started.
Yeah. Here we go.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I know. Thank you. It was fun.
That was fun.
Thank you for flying Alan Air.
I love that Dustin Lance Black. I'm so pleased he came on. Thank you so much. I'd love you to rate the podcast. We'd love 5 stars, obs. And just keep coming back because we love having you on board, Alan Air.